It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Andy, Alex, Renee are here. We're going to talk about WWDC, our predictions for what will be announced at next week's Apple Developer Conference, including a revelation from Intel that could make Mac Pro users pretty happy. It's all next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 353, recorded June 4th, 2013. He smells of win. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audible.com/MacBreak. And by Shutterstock.com. With over 26 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code MacBreak6. And by LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom's not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your direction, such as affordable business and personal documents you can trust. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code MBW to get $10 off at checkout. It's time for Mac Break Weekly with a full complement of fun breakers. Joining us from the Chicago Sun-Times, Mr. Andy Ichnatko.
Hello. How are you today,
joined
sir?
By James Tiberius
I speak
Kirk.
English well. I learned it from a book.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. And he is also... Well, what is your hat? I guess see what your hat say. It says somebody fired up. Hayward? What is that? Hayward? Hayward Fire Department.
That was my fault.
Hayward, California?
Yes. I did a podcast for this fellow that I thought was going to be a fun podcast, and he turns out he's a Fallout firefighter, and he sent me this hat, which is one of my favorite hats
in
the entire world.
Yeah,
and the single warmest garment I own. It's like I go I don't know the name of it, but it's a technical name for a type of like sweatshirt that zips up. Thickest wool ever.
Fleece.
I go out shoveling snow in like 32 degree weather, wow. And I just need this top and pants, of course, boots and gloves, but nope. I'm talking about no coat over it.
But correct me if I'm wrong, but is it not a heat wave in Boston right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you're not wearing it now?
It's like 100 degrees last time I talked. Also with us, that's Alex Lindsay. We rarely hear from him because he's such a world traveler, but it's so nice to have you in studio.
It's good to be back.
Yay. From Australia.
Yes.
That's where you were last time, yeah.
Yes.
Normal time of the day. How do you get over the jet lag?
My body is so confused the time that I don't get jet lag.
Yeah.
I really don't.
This time?
I don't stay on any time. Yeah. I just stay on whatever time
sleep
I'm going
when
to.
You're tired.
Like I'm sleeping. Like, I regulate it with caffeine and alcohol.
Wow.
No, I'm just
Also with us from Montreal, imore.com, it's Renee Ritchie. Hi, Renee.
Hi, Leo. I just assumed that Alex did that toe thing from Die Hard the minute he got to the hotel.
Does that work, the gripping the carpet with your toe?
No, I have no idea what that is.
I don't even know why that would work. It was in the most recent Die Hard. It was like...
The secret really is that I sleep on the plane based on when I'm landing.
Right.
So if I'm landing during the day...
So you set your watch the minute you get on the plane to your next time.
I just make sure that I'm sleep. Like if I'm going to land in the morning, then right. I'm going to sleep on the plane. And if I'm not going to land in the morning...
And you don't use any vitamins or supplements or anything like that?
No, and then
no
I don't...
melatonin?
I also don't drink a lot of caffeine on the plane or alcohol.
Mostly
orange juice and water. A lot of orange juice and water.
I like my airplane speedballs.
Ish.
So, Andy, I'm going to ask you, and you can recuse yourself, but the big story, in fact, it was a big story on Twit, was about the Chicago Sun-Times laying off 28 photojournalists, and you work for the Chicago Sun-Times. Do you wish to not comment upon that?
This is not a joke. For some reason, you're selling it.
Wait a minute now. We're losing his, his sound.
I think he's doing that on purpose. How did he do that?
I swear this is not a joke.
A terrible thing.
I feel bad.
Or we could do this like Forrest Gump, where I'll just like go all blocky and like staticky, and then it'll suddenly go clear, and that's all I have to say.
And that's the way it is.
Can you, are you getting me okay?
You're breaking up pretty bad, and more importantly, you're 8-bit all of a sudden.
I accidentally clicked a link that turned out to be a video like 5 minutes ago, and it's been crap ever since. Can you call me back?
Yeah, we'll call you right back.
Thanks.
So the story, for those who didn't see it, the Chicago Sun-Times publisher laid off 28 full-time photographers, and perhaps in a bad simultaneous move, informed the reporters they were going to get classes in iPhoneography so that they could go out in the field. I would guess that was not the intent. In fact, the same publisher did the same thing at Newsday a few years ago and offered the photographers or gave the chance to reapply for their jobs, but not as photographers, but as multimedia. Yeah, and those who had the skills to do multimedia
now you're better.
Were rehired. And I don't know if that's what they're going to do at the Chicago Sun-Times. But I also have to point out, I mean, we're the ones who are always saying, hey, disintermediation, you know, the new media is taking over. And then when actual people lose actual jobs, there's a little bit of annoyance. Although I never hear this when reporters get fired. Reporters get fired all the time. For some reason, the photographers.
People like photographers.
And some made a very good point that it's a visual age we're moving into. And maybe those are the people to keep.
Well, go ahead, Andy. Go ahead.
Well, all I was going to say, there. Unfortunately, like I was on my way to.
Oh man, he was doing so well.
Damn you, Skype! Damn you to hell! I don't know what to say.
Didn't Gannett do this a couple of years ago? They laid off a bunch of photographers, and they've been training their news people to shoot iPhone photographs ever since.
I think we all understand that an iPhone is not going to replace...
But here's
the hands of an amateur, is not going to replace a DSLR in the hands of a pro.
Here's the math, though. So 28 people probably runs... total cost of employment is probably between $10,000 and $15,000 a day. You know, when you really do the math.
They just can't afford it.
But you need a handful of great photos for the front page and for everything else. And then you need, you know, the folks who are writing the articles while you're there, take a reasonably good picture. Because most of the pictures that you see in a newspaper.
City Hall meeting, you don't really need a great picture.
So most of the pictures that are being taken for a newspaper are just the person that was there. And, of course, you hire a professional photographer to do it, but you don't really need that to cover, like, we were here, here's the picture of this person. And a lot of that can be done with a very base level. Now, you definitely need high-quality ones, but I think that if I were thinking about the way their management's probably thinking about it is, A, I hire five guys every day, you know, five different guys every day or whatever. Or
use
three
freelancers,
guys every day.
Right?
Or use, well, I mean, they would be freelancers. What I'm saying is that I hire different people every day to take pictures of the big stuff. So I don't think they're going without. I don't think the paper is now going to suddenly go without any photographers.
Mistake.
I think that what they're talking about is by moving to freelance, they're able to save a lot of money rather than having people on overhead. And secondly, I definitely think that most likely is going to happen is they're going to look for people who really have that, you know, quote unquote predator background where they're going to be able to shoot video, shoot stills.
That's what I think.
And probably be able to write. I mean, if you look at bloggers, I mean, there's an awful lot of people that are posting to G+, posting to blogs. These are people who can write, they can shoot video, they can, you know, do all those other pieces. And so the there is a generation of media artists who are able to do an awful lot of these things. And I think that what they're looking for is to translate that. I mean, this is something that's happening in every print industry. I mean, I very, very high profile magazine, I'm not going to get into who it is, brought all their photographers in and basically said, you need to be ready to shoot video when we put you out in the field. If we're going to send you somewhere in the world to shoot video, I mean, shoot stills, we expect video. And, you know, a big chunk of their folks just walked out saying, I'm going to go do something else. But they made it clear that they need to be able to acquire both of those things, you know, to make sure that they're viable, and they're probably resetting the system.
My suspicion is, if you're going to be out of work, the best thing to be is a good photographer.
I would not agree.
No? You think it's a tough time?
You have to be able to do both video and
I'm
still.
Just saying, compared to a reporter, those guys are going to be able to find work a lot faster. We see reporters get fired by the hundreds all the time. Look at the 100 reporters that get fired when Rupert Murdoch shut down the Daily. I didn't hear
scream of horror.
What's interesting for me is that we've been doing, in blogging at least, we've been doing that all the time. Like, we would go to CES and we covered it for many years, right, using iPhones or using whatever platform phones. We wanted to dog food it, and one person would write and photograph and video and do exactly that. And now, because we want to make our stuff look better, we've been buying the higher end DSLRs and training all of our writers and everybody. Yeah. So now we're shooting with, you know, good quality Canon glass, but it's still the writer who's doing it. We have a couple of videographers and photographers, but mostly...
I found that even the stuff that I shot at NAB or CES with my iPhone and my headset, I like better. It was just a lot less work for me to walk around and shoot the video of it. And it got the information across.
Let's let Andy speak. I think we can hear him now.
Sorry about that again. I blame Skype. I just had two major reactions to this. Number one, I was really, really disappointed, bordering on offended, by all the people who decided to not talk about the real story here and turn it into the far more fun and linkable soundbite. The Chicago Sun-Times thinks that a reporter with an iPhone can do the exact same job as a professional photographer with an SLR. Drop that piece of that bloody chicken into the alligator pit and watch all the photo blogs like, oh, harumph, 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 harumph. Right. You know, SLRs are this. And
One thing you should not use, Chicago Sun-Times, is Skype. That would be the tool not to use.
Andy's being intercepted. It must be what happened. No one wants this. They don't want the truth to be out there.
Something happened because we had a great stuff for Andy for a month or two. And the last couple of weeks, it's really been breaking up. And it's something weird that we don't understand. And we're working on it. I'm sorry, Andy. He's frozen. And he looks kind of sad for his colleagues.
And Photo Goofer here said that, you know, he's a photographer still doing well without video. And I definitely think that you can, if you are outstanding, you can definitely do well. Or if you're really good at business or you're really outstanding as far as your skill set, you can always do a specialty.
Right.
But I think that when you're looking at 90% of the market, I'm sure that Photo Goofer is very, very good at what you do, or very, very good at business. But I think that when we're looking at 90% of the market, I think that they have to be looking at being able to do a variety of skills.
Well, I also look at the Boston Globe, which has the big picture, and it's fabulous. They have really great full-time photojournalists. And they have a beautiful visual thing. They have an app called The Big Picture. Mm-hmm. They have a website. And the pictures that come from those journalists are stunning and brilliant. And so maybe that's the other way to do it, is to monetize better with the visuals that you're getting from these guys. But I agree, $15,000 a day is a lot.
What might also be happening, though, is the real-time journalism. I mean, they're running photos of people with iPhones on the scene, on the ground, before the reporters or photographers get there. And also in emerging markets, a lot of the places that Alex goes to, those are probably the cameras that they have and how they do news gathering to begin with. They kind of skipped over the high-end equipment fit.
And again, I think that there are a large number of events that you see covered in a newspaper that just don't need a professional to take pictures of. It's just coverage, you know.
Right.
But I think that a magazine or a newspaper. We're not talking about a magazine, really. We're talking about a daily newspaper,
right?
And what it needs to tell the story. And the issue is that I do think a well trained journalist, while they're there, can take photos because bloggers do it all day, every day. I mean, we walk into these events and we see bloggers doing it, and they're taking great photos with their Android or their iPhone or whatever.
So you think that this idea to train the writers in iPhoneography is not a bad idea?
Oh, I think it's a must. I think that
I'd like to give them better cameras than iPhones
and on device video editing too. I mean, they're supposed to shoot the video, edit the video, and upload the video all on their own.
Right, and I think that, again, I think that you absolutely going to have professional photographers shooting the big events, shooting certain things, the big news items. I think you send them out for when those things occur, or when you need to cover those things, or for the cover of every. If you have five photographers out there every day shooting the big things that you're going to put on the cover of your newspaper, it's still a lot less money than having everybody on staff all the time. And if it's a slow news day, then you send one out rather than having 28 on staff. And so that's and I know I'm not making any friends in my own industry saying that. But I'm just saying, from a practical perspective, having 28 people on staff that can't shoot video doesn't make as much sense.
And that's kind of, you know, we've been chronicling the disappearance of newspapers, like it or not, all along. I mean, Arthur Oak Sulzberger, the owner of the New York Times, said a few years ago that he said he didn't think there'd be a print edition of the New York Times in a few years.
And I have to admit that for me, the death knell, I mean, I've said this before on the show, is Flipboard. I mean, as soon as I started using Flipboard, everything else ended. I mean, I barely opened a magazine since
I got a newspaper.
I mean, I just flick through that.
But I read them online, and I think that that's maybe what some people are saying is, well, the last chance to get rid of their photographers is when you're moving online and you want better images. But
what you need is media. You don't need photographers, you need media artists. And the question is you probably have, and I have no idea what they have at Chicago Sun-Times, and Andy will be able to talk about it, but you probably have a lot of tradition. Most of the newspapers that I've seen are a lot of traditional photographers with a handful of
the smart ones were learning Final Cut, like videography, and
like the New York Times is a good example of the photographers are very aggressively moving into the video market. So they've already embraced that process. So if you look at, there's a lot of stuff that the New York
the Avalanche piece that they ran. I can't remember the name of it, but that was heralded by everybody as an example of where newspapers should be going when they're going online. Let's try Andy one more time.
Okay.
Did you reboot everything?
I rebooted absolutely everything.
Okay. I'm sorry. I feel bad.
I'm not joking.
That's exactly how you sound, Andy. We have no idea what you're saying. I don't know what's going on. I really don't.
Okay. I'm going to kick my router upside the butt. Yes. And I will be back in about 2 minutes.
Okay, take your time. Try jiggling the handle.
When I come back,
that's what Patrick Delahanty said. That sometimes works.
Can we just go to audio only.
Look at that.
It's Mac Break Weekly with Grumpy Andy.
Son of a stupid mother of a...
I started out the day grumpy after receiving 4 more takedowns from YouTube, so it can't get any worse. We'll all just be cranky today. The cranky team. While we're getting Andy back, let's get Audible on here because this cheers me up all the time. I love Audible. I was listening to Audible on the way in. I listened to Audible while I worked out. I listened to Audible in the car. I listened to Audible all the time. It's the awesomest audio bookstore ever. With 100,000 titles, you're guaranteed to be able to find something you want to listen to. I love it that they just won the Audi for Audiobook of the Year. It's across all platforms. For the one that they recorded with Colin Firth, he did a version of the classic Graham Greene, The End of the Affair, and I'm putting this on my list. But you can also go to audible.com and see a list of all the year's best audiobooks, many of which are Audible, because really Audible's doing it. They're knocking it out of the park. They're recording these. This is their collection called the A-List Collection. You don't see my... Audiobook of the Year, Distinguished Achievement in Production was The Dracula, read by Tim Curry and Alan Cumming.
Nice.
You gotta love that. Amazing. Handmaid's Tale, read by Claire Danes. I tell you, here's the deal. Go to audible.com, browse around, look at all the great stuff they have. Modern classics, brand new stuff from some of the great writers, you know, thrillers. Stephen King has a brand new one called Joyland.
Yeah, for pretty much my whole, like, while I'm driving, walking, cleaning, anything is between NPR, Twit, and Audible. Those are like the three things that I'm
I don't want you to give up Twit.
Running in the background. But those are the three, like, those are the
you can
three
give
things.
Give up NPR. So here's the deal. We're going to get you a free book. I just signed up a good friend with Audible for the first time yesterday. Got the free book. Go to audible.com/MacBreak. You're going to have a 30-day free trial of the Gold account. That's the book a month plan.
It won't be enough, but you can start there.
Well, it might be. For some, it's enough.
Not for me.
You listen to more. How many books a month? Well, you're in the airplane a lot.
Yeah, three or four. I don't listen in the airplane of all things because I'm actually working. It's just when I'm cleaning my house. You can always tell when I'm cleaning my house because I'm burning through Audible books.
Clean house.
No. I'm traveling a lot, but when I get home,
I'll tell you what. Let me just recommend Audible. Pick a book, then go to audible.com/MacBreak. That first book could be yours for free. You get the first book free, the first month free. Cancel anytime in that first 30 days. You'll pay nothing, but that first book is yours to keep.
I think this should be really the prescription for anger management. You know, a lot of people get very impatient.
It saved me from...
Once you have a book going, you don't really, you know, you're like, not really in a rush to take off. You're not really in a rush to get, you know, you get on the plane, you're kind of waiting, and you're just
road
waiting
rage.
To finish up.
Road rage. I drove 2 hours a day every day to the screensaver. That's when I started listening in the year 2000 to Audible. And it saved me from probably getting out of the car and doing something I would regret. Audible.com/MacBreak. Give it a try today. Should we try with Andy? Should we try maybe a different technology?
The Hangouts are a lot more robust than Skype. So Skype won't be, the Hangouts won't be as clear, but they won't break up as much.
Why don't you try it? Why don't you do a Hangout with
them? Not that I know anything about Hangouts.
I did a Hangout in the car the other day.
Not as recommended.
No, just
illegal
just
in many states, but he's a Canadian.
I left the phone on the somewhere else in the car, and I was just talking to people. And Skype on the iPhone has never been loud enough. I could never hear anybody. And this was as good, if not better, than a speakerphone. I could just drive and talk. And there was four or five other people talking in the background next to me. It was on LTE the whole time. It was fantastic. I got out of my car, went back inside, turned on the video. It was better than using Google Plus on my computer.
Wow.
I wish we had a native app on the Mac for Hangouts now.
Don't own for the on the Mac.
Yeah.
Well, you just use your browser.
The browser is horrible compared to the
oh, really?
App. Yeah, like it's harder to start Hangouts, harder to find them. The
web page is,
yeah, they just released a link for it now.
Yeah.
So there's a link for a private and public. I think Chichu posted it.
And there's parties and there's Hangouts on air. And it's just, it's much more, it seems much slower, a much slower experience than just opening the phone, pressing the Hangouts button, choosing the names and going, or just seeing it pop up and say, you have a call incoming and pressing the answer button.
I was thrilled that they made a standalone Hangouts app.
Yeah.
Because it's really Apple's Messenger.
Yeah, it's done
right. So you get text, you get SMS, you get video calls. It's everything.
Persistent groups. Like we have a MacBreak Weekly group in there and it's just there. It doesn't disappear every time you stop using it.
Yeah. I like it. It's pretty cool.
I think Hangouts are great. I think they might go somewhere.
Maybe so we're going to try that with Andy. You think they might be...
I'm allowed to say, I'm now allowed to say that we've done hundreds.
You're allowed to say that?
Yes.
Because I know this, of course, because I go next door and I see 18 people doing Hangouts and I go, you're up to something, aren't you?
I can't say specifically.
Can you say whose Hangouts you've done?
No, I can't say
He's done some of the biggest Hangouts out there.
Yeah.
Because we should say this, PixelCore is the go-to company.
I don't know, I can't say that.
You can't say that?
Can Leo say that?
All I can say is we've done hundreds of Hangouts.
But I can say that if anybody wanted to do a Hangout, especially with this guy, whoever the hell that is, is that Owen Wilson? No. Is that the Vince Vaughn?
No.
It looks like Vince Vaughn in The Interns.
Sorry.
Is that what you get now when you do a Hangout?
No, I'm doing many things. I'm trying to keep it on the logo. It was in slideshow
I will say
mode.
This. If somebody wants to do a Hangout that works flawlessly, that looks great, PixelCore has figured out all sorts of great technologies to do this. You're the kings of Hangouts.
Yeah, so
we can say that.
I can say that we do a lot of Hangouts, yeah.
You do a lot of Hangouts, and I'll say they do them well.
I would just like, if I could
I don't
get,
think I could get in trouble
hangout,
for that.
I would never go back.
I say things all the time. I should show you the 8 text messages I got from Lisa on Sunday when I started talking about the podcast troll. Stop now. Stop. Shut up. Stop now. I can't save you from yourself. Stop.
She doesn't have a second set of controls like the student drivers, Leo.
She needs a little stun gun in the back of my, you know, just right here.
Like that dog whisperer thing.
So Hangouts, I should correct myself, doesn't do SMS yet, but everybody knows that it will because they even ask for your phone number right now. So
and it's
just a matter of time before the Hangouts app on iOS and Android does SMS as well.
It's really convenient.
Yeah.
It is more robust. As I said, it's not as sharp as Skype when Skype is able to do full resolution, but it is it's much more robust, so it tends not to break up.
Usually a trade-off.
Yep.
Higher quality.
It keeps on getting better. I mean,
more
I think
brittle.
The problem is Skype's going backwards and Hangouts is going forward.
Yeah.
So I think that's the...
Yeah, Skype's a little disappointing right now anyway.
Yeah. iMessage and FaceTime are going nowhere.
One of the things we're working on, you know, Skype's owned by Microsoft and they are tying it into their Link product, which is their enterprise, basically enterprise video conferencing solution. And we are working hard. Microsoft's eventually going to unify these sometime next year, but we're working hard to get a Link server in our basement, which would give us much better Skype capabilities. It'd be from our server to Andy directly with no intermediate points, and I think we'd be able to get a better result. But none of this is happening yet.
Really awesome. It's a string.
All right, now is that on Skype or is that on? No, that's Skype.
Yeah, we're still on Skype. I mean, I he was rebooting, so I couldn't get dialogue to
right.
talk about.
Right. So Andy, we were thinking of, let's try it one more time. We were thinking of going to Hangouts.
Yeah.
Well, it's a great picture, though.
You know, this will be a great ad.
Deny that that is a really good picture.
It is. It's beautiful. I love the audio, a good expression. Yeah, it's just not as animated as I expected.
Now it's
there
animated.
There it is.
See, that's the trade-off. Good picture, motion.
My pick of the week is that 30-pound tripod over there in the corner that I'm going to use to bash a pinata that I'm going to dress in a Skype T-shirt.
We were thinking, Andy, maybe of trying Hangouts. Would you be open to that?
Sure.
So we have your Google Plus. I think we would just Google Plus you, right?
Basically, get on Gmail and we'll chat.
Okay. See you soon, I hope.
Good luck. That's nice.
Yeah, not co-maneuver.
Nice Star Trek reference. All right, we're going to continue. Hey, I buried the lead. Big new product from Apple, ladies and gentlemen. You don't get new product releases every day. Apple releases a new iPod Touch for $229 with a 4-inch Retina display, 16 gigabytes, no rear-facing camera.
I think there's a good reason why you buried that. I'm just saying.
I don't even know why they bothered.
Really?
So, but we are a week away, and we should mention that Monday, June 10th, that's WWDC. We're going to start our coverage a little earlier because Microsoft's also doing its Xbox reveal, its second reveal at E3 at 9:30 a.m. Pacific, 12:30 Eastern. So we're going to start our live coverage with that. Give Microsoft half an hour, and then switch over to WWDC at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And we'll do our traditional live coverage. I doubt there'll be a stream, so we'll have to do it from, as we do, like the baseball recreations Ronald Reagan used to do. Tim Cook hits it. It's high. It's far. It's long. It is.
It'd be nice if they stream. I mean, they stream it so occasionally just to give you hope.
Yeah, I know.
They should really just stream all of them.
There's some rule that we don't know that, like, every third will stream it. Anyway, we do expect, and we could do the rumor rundown now, but we'll be covering this live on Monday. And then, of course, we'll be doing a special Mac Break Weekly in 1 week where we break it all down. I think we know for sure there's going to be new MacBook Airs and new MacBook Pro Retinas, but it now seems there might be a new Mac Pro as well.
The Mac Pro that's hard is that I don't think the Xeon version of Haswell or whatever the equivalent name for that chip is going to be ready yet. So maybe they'll talk about it or show it off, but I think that's more of a fall chipset.
Aha. Uh-huh. And that is what you would put in a Pro. They always have had the Xeons, the Enterprise. Let me just see if Intel has got a roadmap on Enterprise Haswell.
I mean, I would say, I wouldn't say obviously that it's a lock, but I would say better than 50% chance we're going to see some kind of Pro-ish thing. Now, whether it's a Pro Tower or just a souped-up Mac Mini,
There are Haswell. In fact, Gigabyte has two new Haswell Xeon server motherboards.
Nice.
So I think that the Xeon version, the Haswell versions of Xeon are out there. The Computex, they announced it today.
Oh, okay.
That's why you wouldn't have known.
I could definitely see like a half 1U or even a 1U. Version that would be very, or basically well, this, like a 2U half.
This
like
has to change kind of your point of view now, Renee, right? That we know that there's a Xeon E3 1200 V3 processor, Gigabyte's already announced motherboards with it. It is the server variant of the single socket Haswell chip. The core count is constant, memory addressing the same.
If you're going to do a Mac Pro, you should do it at WWDC.
Absolutely.
They wouldn't do a standalone event for it because it's not consumer. So that means dumping it in a press release. And it's way better if you can walk it out in front of your desperate, thirsty developers and show it off.
The Xeon is designed to run in two sockets. So it's dual core, at least. Media transcoding, faster because of the GPU. And of course, on-chip memory controller. So this is interesting. And we're just getting this in from Computex today.
And I think that this one still, I think we talked about this in the previous episodes, but I think that this one is the one that makes the most sense for an American build for a computer.
Mm-hmm. Xeon E3 1200 V3 has 1.4 billion transistors. I just love that. It's meaningless to anybody, but it's just a great number. 177 millimeters square. It's a hot die. It doesn't slide into a socket, but is welded onto circuit boards.
The chat room is saying maybe we don't need Xeon anymore, but I still think if Apple's going to do a Mac Pro, it's going to be the hypercar of of their lineup.
And you do want Xeon because, exactly. You want to. These are machines used for transcoding, so anything.
Well, it's got to be significantly better than an iMac,
right? I mean,
you know, that's the bottom line. It really has to be, 30 to 50% faster than the fastest iMac.
And the iMac is now like a MacBook Air. It's hermetically sealed. It's a very consumer device. Right. If you're going to do Pro, I mean, you want it to be that beast of a machine.
Six gigabit SATA ports, six USB 3 ports. This is through the chipset. PCI Express 3.0 slot integrated. Yeah, this nice is this kind of lends some credence to the whole idea of it being a modular system,
right?
Where you add as you need. So the server parts,
and I could see them going to two slots of. Two slots for boards, and then the rest of it being a Thunderbolt out or whatever you're going to do. Yeah.
Desktops now have docks.
There are 13 different Xeon E3-1200 processors, 13 SKUs. There's a low voltage one. This is interesting. 12 of the 13 are available now. The low voltage is coming in the third quarter. So there you go. That means we will. I think that you're right. That was what we were waiting for. I think you're right now. We'll see a Mac Pro. You lend credence to the analyst, the lone analyst who said a much, much thinner 13-inch MacBook Pro Retina?
As analysts go, he has been one of the most historically reliable. The stuff he says is mostly right most of the time. I don't know what the economics are of retooling that casing, but if Apple can get... So we spoke before about how a Retina MacBook Air doesn't seem likely yet just because of the battery life required to power that density of display... which means if those don't go Retina, the MacBook 13, especially if it's thinner, would be a much better option for power users.
Hello. I think Andy's calling. Is that me?
There he is.
Sorry. Go ahead. Anything. I give up.
No, I was just saying that a thinner MacBook Pro, Retina MacBook Pro, would be great for people who want to travel with that much power.
I agree. Because I don't, if they got it thin enough, I wouldn't buy a Air, right? Yeah.
Because the Air is still compromised. Like, it's someone who favors portability over power.
I want Retina. And yes. I think we all, you've convinced me there won't be a Retina Air.
Yeah, so I think there will be eventually, maybe. Or maybe the Pro will become so thin that you don't need an Air anymore.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. What is the difference between that and an Air?
Right now, it's just weight and a little bit of thinness. And as they get better and better at making it, either the Air gets beefier to support the bigger chips or the Pro gets thinner to support the more efficient chips, and they kind of meet in the middle.
We've also seen that Haswell is offering a better battery life. All the manufacturers who are making Haswell laptops are quoting 50% or more better battery life. So that means you're going to go from 4 to 6, maybe 4 to 7.
Sure.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
I'm not on battery that much.
Mine lasts like 2.5 hours, but I think it's just because I have everything up. Well, I do a lot of work.
Well, you'll be able to go 3.25.
Yeah, there we go. Mostly I just have to plug it in all the time.
If you can just go to a coffee shop, pull out your computer and work there, or an airport where there's no power, or like Alex said last week, someone is hogging the one power thing, and you don't have to worry about it because you've got 7 hours. It's one less thing that has to bother you.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of places, whether it's airports or coffee shops, a lot of them have become very focused on power outlets. I mean, all the new Starbucks, for instance, have power outlets everywhere because they know that that's part of why you come. Airports are the same way, where you're starting to see whole sections of areas available for people to plug in. So I think that that's definitely I think that's part of why I've become a lot less sensitive to it.
So Monday is the one scheduled keynote of the year, and we do expect new hardware there. We'll talk a little bit about iOS. There's some hints from the new iOS, from the WWDC app.
Looks a little flatter.
We'll talk about that and a lot more. We're going to get Andy via Hangouts. No? And all sorts of stuff's going to happen. But first, a word from Shutterstock. I think it's going to break. You want to take a walk and help us with Google? Okay. Now watch.
Sending in the commando.
Sending in, This is SEAL Team 6 of Hangouts. Yes. This guy. Holy cow.
Delta.
I almost want to watch. He's Delta Force. Look at that. He's doing the magic. While he's doing the magic, let me tell you about Shutterstock.com, the place to go. I've been blogging a little bit more. I want to kind of get back into doing that. And one thing I really believe, if you're writing a blog post or post of any kind, talking about these photographers, you got to have an image in it. Images are great. And Shutterstock is a great place to go. I have a Shutterstock account that gives me 25 images a day. It's kind of the basic plan. They also have image bundles. They're very affordable. You know, we've been saying 20 million high-quality stock photos. It's now 26 million. That's how fast Shutterstock is growing. 26 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, video clips, images from around the world, and at your fingertips. Professional photographers, professional artists. Of course, Shutterstock reviews everything individually for content and quality before adding it to its library. 10,000 new images a day. So that's why it's growing so fast. As I mentioned, individual image packs are very affordable, or get a standard subscription, which is what I love. You can download any image in any size. You pay one price, royalty-free. Use it as you choose. They've got the other thing I love about Shutterstock. They've got the best search tool, which lets you drill down by subject, by emotion, asset type, gender. Yeah, you can even go with their spectrum tool and choose a shade, a color that you like. So if you've got a palette that you're working with, you can work with that. The light boxes are great. Now, you don't have to pay for the light box. You can go to Shutterstock.com and create a free account and then start putting images in a light box. Great for kind of gathering ideas. I find it good for inspiration. Sometimes my blog post will start with a image and then go to a post. But you can also use it, share it with other members of your team so you can get great results that way. Take a look at the iPad app, too. It is almost like, I should show you, it's almost like a photo app. Like 500px or something, where you can just browse through it and look at great images. I don't know. Oh, good. We've got it up. Good. And watch the Shutterstock app. So I want you to try it. You don't need a credit card. Just start an account. I mean, isn't that gorgeous? They won a Webby Award for this. So you can, again, use it just for inspiration. So these are featured light boxes. People have created light boxes. Somebody wanted to do pastel, right? Maybe you got a website and you're looking for pastel images. So they created a light box with great pastel images. Here's White Spaces, Egg Hunt. This must have been one for Easter. Flower Power, Bright Ideas. A lot of times this is a great way just to get some inspiration, design inspiration. Here's bicyclers, I guess I should say. Here's the deal. If you want to buy, just this is all free to do, to sign up, to get an account and all that stuff. But if you want to buy... we're going to get you 30% off, which is a great deal. Go to Shutterstock.com and sign up and use the offer code MacBreak6. Get an image pack or a subscription. When you use the offer code MacBreak6, because we're in the sixth month, June, you'll get 30% off. Truly global. They've got offices in almost every country, and they speak many, many languages, so you can make sure you get a Shutterstock that will work with you. We've got Andy Iannocco.
Huzzah.
Thank you, Shutterstock, for your support. He is now on a Hangout. Hi, Andy.
It's Google versus Microsoft. Who will win in this Iron Shift streaming battle?
We got to get him on the mic. He's so on the
Andy, can you it's in the little gear.
Gear in the Hangout window that you're on.
Yep.
So did you do some Hangout foo?
The only food that I really did is that when you invite someone, you can try to use all that invite stuff, but you can just send someone the URL to the window.
And send a link.
Then we also scaled the little windows so that they're smaller. So you got more of a full screen.
We didn't get the full Pixel Core foo. There's a whole foo package.
There's foo.
But that costs more. And
there's foo hardware.
I can't afford it.
And Andy is now on a red Epic camera.
No, it looks like I've got an Instagram cool border. Like an old timey Polaroid.
You've been framed. Listen how good the sound is, too. All right. I think we got there you, Andy. Unfortunately, we've moved on, but let me give you a chance to respond to that Chicago Sun-Times story.
All I wanted to say is that hopefully we did get it out that I don't think it's right that people think that the Sun-Times was saying that a reporter with an iPhone is as good as a professional, can do the exact same job as a professional photographer with an SLR. That was clearly not what they said in any way, shape, or form, and it's irresponsible for blogs and whatever to claim that that's what they're saying. Secondly, that this is just I have no inside information whatsoever. I promise you about that. About what went behind this decision, but it's not atypical of what's going on inside every newspaper and every publication. You have a mandate to serve your community, and you have a limited amount of resources in which to do it. It's possible that a newspaper like the Sun-Times could see, here's how much money we're spending on the salaries of 28 full-time photographers. What could we do with that budget if we decided to, if If we have data that says that people are not coming to our site for the photography, could we use that money to hire more reporters? Could we use that money to hire more on-staff web developers? I mean, those are also good things that would help to improve the ability to communicate news to a local and national audience. So it's not necessarily a good thing that qualified photographers, Pulitzer Prize winning photographers, it's not necessarily, I mean, it's not ever a good thing for anybody to lose their jobs. But to instantly say that this is a stupid thing for any publication to do without knowing what their priorities are and what the numbers they're looking at, both in terms of how much money they have to serve their mandate and also what they think their audience is coming to that newspaper to get, that's just premature and just not correct, I think.
Well said. I think that concurs with everything we just said.
Yeah. I mean, I think this starts and ends, I think, appropriately with I feel so badly for, again, 28 people who came into work one morning, proud of work that they had done for years, even a whole generation, for one of the nation's best newspapers, not knowing that that was going to be their very last day. And that's where this discussion should begin and end. We can have debates about the direction of digital media, the focus of traditional newspapers, the inability to get readership to pay for journalism that costs a lot of money to produce. But in the end, we're talking about 28 people who are not entirely sure how they're going to get through the next year. And that's really where my feelings are right now.
Yeah, and I feel bad for them, absolutely. And I feel bad for all of our friends in print media, radio, television, movies, and music who are losing their jobs in the digital era. Things are changing. They're changing very rapidly. Yeah. And it's not just media. It's going to be all over. People are, you know, losing
their jobs. You knew a guy who used to make little wood toys, and in the age of the plastic toys, he had to find a new career. It's one of those things that cycles as technology changes, unfortunately. Mm-hmm.
It is interesting. When I grew up, the two my two journalistic hero fictional journalistic heroes were Edison Carter from Max Headroom and, of course, Ford Prefect. and little did I know that by the time I grew up to be an adult and wound up being a writer, that's exactly the way that journalism is being practiced. You know, you are a sole individual with a bag that contains every piece of technology you need to produce and publish content, and the people you work for is just the people who will flip the switch to put that in front of an audience. It may have been science fiction in the late 70s, mid 80s, but this really is. I mean, we do need to be a generation of Edison Carters who are at least able to bring as many skills to the concept of reportage and coverage as we possibly can. I will close it out. But today on Tech Hive, finally, is my big blockbuster 3,000 word review of those cool Sony digital binoculars, and of course, some very nice photography of the device that are in there that, of course, I had to do myself because, you can use the stock images that the company gives you, but you don't really like that. You can kind of hope that Tech Hive or The Verge or whoever is going to think enough of this piece to do photography for you and that it's going to tell the story the way you want to tell it. But in the end, if you want, as a writer, if you want the story told the way that you want to get your fingers as bloody and as paint stained as you possibly can into as many steps of the process. And for me, that does include taking pictures and trying to lay that stuff out myself. So it's odd.
I think that whether you're a company or an individual, this is no longer a business that you're going to get into and even feel like you can remain static. I know for us, we're constantly looking at what we have to do next. we get really good at something and we use that as a platform to get really good at something else. But you know
what happens,
this is not going to be
old and you stop. I mean, I'm done. I'm not.
But you know, I think that
and I bet you many of those 28 were of my vintage. Not all, but I bet a number of them were.
Well, it's hard. And I think it's hard.
And that's tough. And when you're in your 50s and you get fired, it's a lot harder to find that next job.
Yeah.
It
and,
is.
And the sad irony is a lot of the reasons why these people are not acquiring new skills is because they are doing their jobs. They are
busy 18
hours a day doing a job they're excellent at doing. They don't have time to learn how to design dynamic websites, and they don't necessarily need to have the time to build up a following on Facebook and Twitter that they can use and bring to the table when they're trying to publicize a piece. They're out there, you know, as one of the, I forget what is one of the
laid off photographers or a photographer from the Tribune who has made a very, very solid point that it's not just their expertise and their equipment. It's also the fact that they have been covering
their
Chicago stories for 20 years, and they know exactly who to go up to and how to get behind the ropes and get the shots that they need. So that's just like when the last when Apollo 17 cleared the launch pad, they lost 3,000 people who were very, very good and had had 20 years worth of experience in getting that thing up in the air. Once you let a local photographer go, if he moves to another market to take another job, that knowledge, that experience goes away with him and will never come back.
Well, it's also why, kids, you should learn how to program. and if you want to learn how to program, get an Apple developer's license for $99 and go to WWDC next year, because it's all sold out for this year.
I think there's an incredible business for people who are doing media production, but that's all I got to say.
This is WWDC's app. In fact, this is a picture from Mark Gurman. Compares the three different years, 2011, 2012, 2013. 2011, considerably more rounded corners, beveling 3D, and you go over to the right, and the new one that just came out, it's, you know, it's flatter. Even the icon, look here on my over-the-shoulder shot, you could see the icon, Chad, even the icon, that's the flattest. That almost looks like Metro. You take out the rounded corners, that is Metro.
Or Google.
Isn't it?
It looks a lot like Google Apps.
Here's the app. Here's the app itself. Let me get out of this. And where did it stick it?
It looks a lot like the Google Apps that are very flat.
It does. I like it. It's very flat. Looks good. This is events. Here's the maps. Boy, that doesn't even look like Apple Maps, does it?
They don't do indoor yet.
Very clean.
They're waiting for Google to come in and do the inside map.
Now, this is worth getting, even if you have to be a developer when you sign in, but you can get, I think you can do that for free, right? Get the developer account. Then you can see streaming video from this year's, and it says all years. It looks like, look at that. There's some older stuff too.
And they're going to be releasing them very, very quickly this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I just wanted to caution people about, it's the same thing as invitations. I mean, Apple has designers, and they're given a design to do, and it has nothing to do with, I mean, it might be different this year because of Johnny Ive, but also the guy who designed last year's app is no longer at Apple, so there's a new person designing it. There could be trends.
Though. Come on. It really does. I mean, this is kind of a statement, don't you think?
Yeah, well, no, absolutely. But it may or may not be reflective of what you see in iOS, just like the podcast app may or may not be, or anything else that Apple puts out from now. It reflects a flatter aesthetic, but it might not be the iOS 7 aesthetic as such. It's going to still be a standalone application.
Last
year it was silver, and the only thing we saw that reflected that was maps. It wasn't a widespread change. Right. It was a specific change.
Yeah, I think this might be the year, though, since you got rid of Scott Forstall. You're giving it to Johnny Ive. Here, iOS 7. It's not as big a deal to change the look and feel of an iOS app or even iOS as a whole as it is to rewrite the app. It's just resources, right?
Well, but it definitely looks like there's the basic resources, but they've definitely put their foot down.
At all things D, that's one of the things Tim Cook's. He didn't say much. We were talking about it last week. We were right. He said nothing. Right. But one of the things he did say is that Johnny Ive is really key to the iOS redesign.
The other thing he said, though, that's important to remember is that Apple likes surprises, and they're not going to spoil iOS 7 with the WWDC app. And I kind of casually asked on Twitter if Apple designers kind of get a chuckle when people try to read the tea leaves of their designs. And I got quite a few comments back from people who would know that, yes, in fact, it is one of the most chuckle-inducing parts of their job.
Okay, well, chuckle away, because I'm looking at this, and it's a big departure.
Yeah.
This looks really, really different. And I find it hard to believe that Apple would put out an app that looks like this and it means nothing. Well, so chuckle away.
I'm just saying it's not going to spoil iOS 7. Apple's going to save that reveal for WWDC.
Right. It's insane to think that they would do something so overt to tip out, to show all of their cards at once.
Well, of course not. It's just an app.
I'm sure that retrospect, when we look back, we'll see a lot of highlights, because I don't think that you can redesign an operating system and then decide, no, but we'll make the old app look as crappy as we were trying to quash for the past 11 or 12 months. But it's a nice app. It's a lovely app, but I don't think that you should lay down any of your money on bets just yet.
I'm not even sure it's a nice app. It's very, very stark. I mean, so this is from Gotta Be Mobile. Some, I don't know, leaked screenshots of iOS. I don't.
But you talk about smoking guns. Now, if you want hardcore evidence of Apple's plans, what I look for is a grainy image compressed blown up square of oddly blobs in which we kind of think that maybe the icons are different.
It's with like, no, well, carrier. There's no carrier there.
Why is anybody bothering to go to WDC? You know, Apple must be so livid right now.
Okay, this is when you can chuckle. Developers.
Somebody got fired over this.
So the guy who leaked the picture, Sonny Dixon, he does get, like, he collects prototypes. He gets a lot of Apple hardware, and a lot of people know people. But I don't know about that picture, but I looked at it, and there's no carrier on it.
Right.
And, like, the Wi-Fi and the bars are oddly placed. And it also is from an era where Apple may well have changed several times since
right.
then. So.
Right. All right. We're going to, you know what? It's just, of course we don't know. It's fun to speculate. That's all we've got to do till next Monday. Monday we'll find out. It's not a big deal. The other thing we probably will see is iRadio. It seems to be that Apple's making deals quickly now. They made a iRadio deal with Warner Music, according to CNET, one of the last remaining holdouts. The number three label. Actually, Sony is now the last holdout. Sunday, according to CNET, they struck a deal with Warner Music Group and Warner Chappell. The publishing is very important to allowing you to do this. And Tom Neumeier at Apple's refusing to comment, of course. So apparently no deal with Sony yet, but I bet you I bet you late night sessions going on this week. Apple wants to put out according to the rumors, a radio service. The tech press has dubbed it iRadio. We don't know what it's going to be called, although I like that name.
Sure.
That will be free, ad-supported. Yes? No? You agree?
Meh.
Nah?
I mean,
nah?
I
said meh or nah?
Meh.
Meh. Yeah, you meh. You don't care because you've got what?
Spotify.
Spotify.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why. I mean, my time is valuable to me, and a little something. It can be free, but if I can't go to the songs or build the playlist that I want to build, I don't understand.
Right.
I don't understand that model at all.
Where it fits in your life.
You don't listen to Pandora?
No, I don't.
I think, well, Pandora is hugely successful, and there's two things that might indicate that Apple will have a chance to beat Pandora. One is the record companies don't like how much money they get from Pandora. They'd like to get more, and Apple presumably right. is offering them more. Two, from the user's point of view, and I use Pandora heavily, Pandora can be a little bit dissatisfying. It seems to drift in its recommendations. You're listening to a hip-hop station, all of a sudden you hear the Beatles. It's very strange. But I listen to Pandora more than anything else. I just think that there is an opportunity for somebody to beat Pandora. Do you listen to Spotify Radio?
No.
You make your own playlist. Okay.
And I admit, I used to be a music director for a radio station, so there's like thousands and thousands of songs that I like to listen to over and over again that no one even knows.
It's really fun to watch the chat room because some people are saying, I love Pandora. Some people are saying, I hate Pandora. Pandora sucks.
Music's very personal.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I love what Google did with their Play Music Store, with their new subscription service, because for me, a subscription service is a transition towards owning music that I really, really like. And I like the fact that there's one service that really contains it all. I have a Spotify account. I didn't really get into it because there comes a time when you like that album or you like that track so much, you want to have it with you all the time. And then unfortunately, you find yourself, I'm on the plane, but I forgot to protect this one track and it would not sync to this device, but not this other device. And there's a point at which I really want to have an unlocked audio file that I can do whatever I damn well please with. And so I like the fact that I no longer have to have three services to get all my music into my ear holes. Now it's just all one.
So Andy buys.
I don't know what Apple's going to do that's going to make it compete with that.
Andy buys. Alex rents.
And I begrudgingly buy occasionally. I mean, I do buy a handful
you
of things
shifted,
here and there.
You used to be
buy. I've bought a lot of music.
And what do you do, Renee?
I hate to admit this, I don't listen to a lot of music. I watch TV and video. I listen to a little bit of music, and I listen to anything. I like almost all kinds of music, so whether I have radio or Slacker or whatever else playing, I'm just happy.
I like to watch, says Renee.
Yes.
Most of my music listening now is driven by Sonos. So, for instance, I like the Google Play, but because it's not on Sonos, I don't use it I signed up for it. I use Pandora a lot because Sonos and Pandora kind of go together. Songza,
I mean, I think that the, I think I could be persuaded to listen to something like that. But, you know, I think that the problem is I don't have enough control over how particular I want the machine to be about what it feeds me. And that's the part that I, you know, I want some control over that, saying I want to, you know, build. And I think I've talked about this a long time ago.
I understand.
But two sliders, one that says build a group based on my library, build a group of people around the world. I don't need to know who they are, but just tell me that I've got a pack of 2,000 or 200 or 10, and then recommend stuff to me or play it to me when I set a percentage, when 80% of them like it or have added it to a library, or 50% or 20%.
My
that's all I need.
That's you. That's him. That's Renee. Yep. That's me.
Lots of business.
You've got four people here, and there's four different business models.
Yep, absolutely.
And so I guess that's probably true. You know, we're a microcosm of the world.
Right.
There is no big winner. Maybe Apple sees this as an opportunity. If anybody could be said to be the big winner in music sales, it's Apple. iTunes dominates. Yeah. Even today, when you've got a lot of competition from Amazon and Google, iTunes continues to dominate.
Yeah, but are they going to wind up doing what they did with the iBookstore, where they really, truly did not bring anything new to the table whatsoever? They just got 30% of the money, and instead of letting Amazon get 30% of the money for those other sales. If really that's all they do with iRadio is to give there's another app that now you have to download after you get your new phone or after you upgrade to a new version of the operating system. It will give you a library of music that will only be available to you on Apple branded devices. I just don't. They're really going to have to make the case that here is what we're doing that nobody else is doing. Because another reason why I like Google Music is that I hate to steal a line from Apple, but this is a service that just plain works. I don't have to know how music got into my iTunes library. Google Music makes sure that it gets into my cloud library, and it's going to be available to every device I have in my pocket or in my bag or any device that has a web browser on it. Whereas I still turn iCloud Music Syncing back on every 5 or 6 weeks just to see if it's improved any since the first time I turned it off. But still, the only way I can really anticipate that my music is where it's going to be, where I anticipate it's going to be on my iPad or my iPhone is going to be, I have to do it without iCloud singing because it's just too complicated. It doesn't work.
It's so funny.
I don't know what their solution, what problem they see and how they're going to solve it. I have faith in Apple, but I'm mystified as to what they're going to do that's going to be new. I really see an iBookstore sort of solution, not a iTunes sort of solution.
Well, and one other thing that we know is that this is going to be, this is a U.S. discussion. Because globally, the music rights issues are so
disastrous,
crazy, and Byzantine that it's not an easy solution for anybody. And many of the things we talked about are available in different forms.
Well, one of the things that I'm still kind of interested, given how much money has been floating around in some of these subscription services, or how much Apple has, is when
just buy the music industry.
Well, or it's not even buy the music industry, but start
Disney.
Publishing. I mean, I mean Netflix now is committing to 15% of their
Has enough power at this point to say, hey, you don't need Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Come to iTunes label.
I mean, people are already building stuff on
Does Apple want to do that?
I think that they've avoided it. I think that they don't want to get into that market where they're competing with people they're trying to negotiate with. I think it's a mistake.
It's got to be the threat, though.
But what could they even win?
They don't need to win.
I'm saying that
scaring is all that's required.
Well, no. If I am the producers and I own, you know, Arrested Development or something, I'm looking for a deal to. I've been canceled by the network. I want to be back on the air in some fashion. Wouldn't I rather have a deal with Amazon? Wouldn't I rather have a deal with Netflix or Roku rather than, again, locked in on here is one Apple branded device that will one series of devices that plays your content, albeit the most popular tablet in the entire world and one of the most dominant worldwide brands in phones, and certainly not exactly an also ran in the TV market, but.
What about
I agree with you because Apple's unwillingness to make a Windows 8 version of iTunes has to look pretty bad if you're looking at it. Let's make this global.
So, but if I'm a music artist, and let's go back to music for a second because that's what we're talking about. If I'm a music artist and I go to Sting or Peter Gabriel and I say, "Here's the deal: we'll pay you to do your album. We get first release for the first 2 months on iTunes, and then we're going to release it as a label. We're going to release it widely after that. You're going to get special promotion. We're going to pay you a lot of extra money. We're going to do a lot of other things that other people aren't going to do. you know, you start doing that with a handful of the large artists, you know, there's a lot of things that can sweeten that pot because the actual CD revenue is, you know, continuing to drop.
I think it's also complicated. You know, Madonna's last record label wasn't with a record company at all. Yeah. It was with Live Nation, a concert promoter.
And that's happening more and more often because the real money is in the concerts.
I'm not sure that would work with music, though, because remember that the iTunes store is the only place where you can buy unlocked on DRM content. I think that people...
Amazon's unlocked on DRM.
No, I'm saying with music, if they tried to get an exclusive deal where this will only be sold on for this exclusive window for 30 days on the iTunes store, I'm not sure that that would work out for the publisher's needs of having a lot of sales over the next 2 or 3 or 4 months.
Right. But what if we promise you the same amount of money that you would have made on your last album?
Okay.
But, Apple can make those deals. Apple can make those deals, and they can cut the, you know, it's kind of a Kaiser Sose approach. You can make profit on a bunch of different ways. Of, right. You know, you don't need to make money on that job. No.
That's true. But I mean, how many performers are there who would be willing to cut that kind of a deal?
As the lake continues to get more shallow, probably more.
Diana Ross, definitely. Honestly, arrived. Sure.
Well, I think
Cher,
the thing is also.
Always.
I think the thing is also is that Apple typically does 80% solutions. They try to make something that appeals to the mass majority, not necessarily the power users. Books wasn't something that was in their wheelhouse. They were something that knew that they went to, and they did shake up Amazon a bit because they went to the agency model and had other people come to the agency model.
And now they're in deep trouble.
Yeah, absolutely. But they might just do something similar with music where make something that iTunes Match has always worked for me. I haven't had a problem with it. I have like maybe 5,000 songs in it. iCloud in general, not the developer part, but the consumer-facing part has been really solid. But I'm not a very high-powered user of those features. And I think that they would be fine with something that offered a way for you to sample music, buy it, if you like, through the iTunes store, and just plays the music you want, whether it's ad-supported or not, for a fixed subscription fee. Or free with the ads, I think they would be fine without a very complicated solution.
Yeah. Big Ginge points out, I forgot about this, but the last Prince album was sold by a newspaper in the UK only. Yeah. Did Big Ginge eventually make it available? I think he did, other ways. But they had an exclusive. How long was the exclusive?
It was one episode. I mean, one Sunday paper, I think.
Right.
And it was, they paid him $1 million, I believe.
Right.
For the...
they gave him enough money that it was worth it.
Yeah,
one way or the other.
Renee made a really good point.
It was given away with a newspaper, it wasn't sold.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I say Renee made a really, really good point. It's all about the all-inclusive resort nature of Apple products, in which it really does work great on the resort. And it doesn't even matter. I do think 80% of the users of an iPhone or an iPad are not even going to need to be aware that there's such a thing as an Amazon store or a Play store or any other sort of music store, so long as the path to getting music from the iTunes store is so well greased on an iPhone or on an iPad. So, but it's a question of, is that going to be enough to, I mean, I'm certain that's going to be enough for it to be a successful product, but that's why I tend to see it more as an iBookstore sort of thing, where the reason why they sell so many books is because it's one stop, it's all connected in, it's very, very easy to buy stuff from an iPad, not because they're doing anything different or better than the Kindle store is doing.
Just read an article talking about the long-term effects of the Napster prosecution by the recording industry, and that the article
that was actually was the day the music died.
It was the day the music died, and in fact, it was academic. I'll see if I can find it. But the story was quite interesting that the kibosh it puts on innovation. Basically, when Napster got put out of business by the music industry, lots of people who would have done lots of innovative things in music said, yeah, okay, we're not going to do anything in music. And as a result, the music industry is way behind in terms of what it could have been by now, 10 years later.
I mean, because that subscription service would have been, you know, would have come out of the gate fairly successful, you know, and maybe it wouldn't have made as much money. Maybe they made more money doing iTunes, but it was definitely, there were a lot of opportunities. And Napster was trying to turn it into money. I mean, they were trying to turn it into a real subscription service. But by the time the negotiations happened with Spotify or anything else, I mean, they were already, you know, halfway.
Was a professor of law at Rutgers University, a copyright and innovation, the untold story. He went back and interviewed a bunch of startups, CEOs, and so forth to see what was the impact of the Napster, the aftermath of the Napster prosecution. There's the more recent article, which I recommend from TechDirt in the innovation column on TechDirt, that talks about this. And I guess the Wisconsin Law Review, which ran the original paper, asked for responses, and there were quite a few. This guy wrote, when you let the incumbents veto innovation, the incumbents being the record industry, you get less innovation, Mike Masnick in the Washington.
For the iRadio stuff, I mean, I don't think if Apple launched without the support of every radio, with every music label, it would be a problem. They launched iBooks without a bunch of publishing houses. They launched DRM-free music without all of the studios behind it. Apple seems to be okay with just launching it and using that as pressure to drive the rest of the industry. And they also, Cook at D11 said that they don't necessarily need to own content. They're happy to make deals at this point. And that might be short-term planning, but it seems where they're currently headed.
I feel like also Apple is not anymore the hip brand that it once was. And the people who buy music are for the most part young people. I don't know if they're going to pay that much attention to what Apple does in this space. I think it's great for older people like me who, you're right, if I can buy it on my iPhone, I'll buy it.
Yeah.
But that's not where the trend makers, where the people who buy a lot of music are coming from. They're people under 30. And now that Vine's on Android, anymore? I don't know. I think it's all over.
Do the kids buy music, Leo, or do the kids just want to play it?
The kids don't buy it. That's the problem. Yeah. The kids, at least my kids, and this is a fifth consumption option that this panel doesn't represent. They watch YouTube.
Right.
Yeah.
They do. It's all on YouTube. They just watch it on YouTube.
Yep. They build playlists.
I've done that myself. It's like...
Yeah.
Before Google had subscription music, that would be, that sounds like a great album. I'll look for it on YouTube and then listen to the entire thing, and then I'll decide whether it's worth my investigating.
But that's the difference. You go out and buy it. The kids go, okay, what's next?
Right. And that's it. They're done. I got a job. The kids, they don't.
I listen to that one next.
Well, I mean, do we think that also when it comes to music, I mean, I think that it's much more for the younger generation. It seems like it's much more disposable. Like it is, like I know when we got into albums, I would listen to Genesis Trick of a Tail for a year.
Nobody does
like almost every day, and so it was just kind of like it was part of my little cycle, and my kids, I think there's a hit that's like for 3 weeks and then it's just gone.
Yep.
You know, they're on to the next thing.
When you listen to
Gangnam Style,
you're not going to listen to Carly Rae Jepsen over and over. Well, maybe you are, but
you should see my 5-year-old son do Gangnam Style. I'm going to have to shoot video of him. No, he's got it down. He's got it down. My daughter, my 3-year-old daughter, is close, but
I
should make a video of that.
Do a Vine.
It's pretty funny.
Oh, can I tried to. I tried to get my son to buy an Android phone. He says I can't because Vine's not on it.
Wow,
that was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
it is. I think you.
I downloaded it in the airport yesterday in Denver, and I could not get it to work on the S3.
You're old, Andy.
I was really excited about trying to decide what the hell I could possibly do a 6-second video about that wouldn't be a waste of everybody's time.
All I can say is 6 seconds is not enough.
It's all about the orange. You've seen the orange, right?
Annoying orange?
Paul Sacco?
Sappho?
Yeah, doing his Vine. They have a compilation on YouTube. Don't play it or we'll get a takedown. But the...
See, by the way, this is why I am offended by the whole thing, because that is a chilling effect on our journalism. And it's
Will Sasso, that's right. Sorry. Will Sasso. If you want to see
Paul
the
Sapho's
lemons...
The
and, I'm sorry, it's not oranges, it's lemons.
Okay.
Lemons with Will Sasso. Have you seen the lemons with Will Sasso?
No, I'm trying to find my phone.
It is the best example of what to do with Vine, in my opinion. No, there's two. One is Will Sasso with the lemons, and two is Lowe's. Have anyone seen Lowe's?
Lowe's?
Yeah. Lowe's does these like how-to videos. I think it's Lowe's, isn't it? It's Home Depot or Lowe's, but I think it's Lowe's. They do these how-to videos.
There's a whole category
of how-tos. See how senile I'm becoming. Yeah. And it's like oranges or lemons
oranges.
Paul or Will. I remember
on that thing called grape juice.
Is there any sort of like 6-second home improvement thing you could
do? It is Lowe's.
That doesn't involve C4.
No, watch Lowe's. Watch Lowe's.
You can't. 6 seconds is not enough for anything.
This is how you hit a nail.
It's all stupid stuff.
Lowe's.
They try to till all the soil in your backyard.
Watch it. You got to watch it. It is like, because they did it in stop motion. So they show you how to fix something or how to do something or how to with stop motion. And it's actually, I mean, I can't believe how much information they packed into 6 seconds.
Kick this one too. Kick this one.
If you have Vine, you can go to the editor's picks and see a lot of these because they remain Very popular.
I bet you Lowe's doesn't have a takedown on this one.
We saw the 16-year-old kid who figured out how to put the entire Rick Astley "Never Gonna Give You Up" on Vine and broke it.
He's a Twit fan.
He's a Twit fan?
Yeah, yeah. I've actually been following him on Twitter for a while, and I saw that come through, and it was
bad because he's a good programmer. He wanted a job. He's right. I'm sorry, Vine. So this is an example of a popular. There you go. That's from Lowe's.
Yeah. Look at this. So this is how to.
Oh, that's very clever.
I guess that's pretty good. Strip screw, put a rubber band in it.
But they've got a whole bunch of
them. Come right out. That does not work, by the way.
Wait.
Okay. Look at this. Got lemons? Make lemonade.
No,
your knives are clean and fresh. Wow, that is pretty impressive.
It only costs you $30 in lemon juice.
You convinced me. I didn't think you could do anything with 30.
And they've got like 20 of these. And I went through all of them because I saw that article. And it was just like, that is a great use of...
And can the play characters of video.
And we're talking about it. So whatever they paid for it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead, that's it.
I'm sorry. And also to tail back to what we were trying to talk about, what I was trying to talk about at the top of the show before I got really interrupted by Skype. This is there are kinds of media for which traditional photojournalism you're not equipped to do because it didn't exist until like a year and a half ago. It's possible to do a Vine video that is actually informative and interesting and delivers a point.
Yeah.
And maybe it's if you keep some of the old but also embrace some of the new, I think that's how you get the best stew of all.
This is a great one.
Mm-hmm. Broke a nail? Use a clothespin and you'll never hit your hand again.
I don't know if I would do that. That's just...
Ouch.
I used to be my dad's helper on an incredible amount of domestic carnage projects. But I said, how do you hold the nail so that you don't hit it with a hammer? And he would say sternly, you hit the nail with the hammer, not your finger.
Exactly.
Thanks, Dad.
That's good all tip. You need to know.
I grew up.
I'll send that into Reader's Digest.
At our barbecues, we used to have competitions. There'd be whole boards out, and you'd actually who could strike it in with the fewest number of hits.
Boom, boom,
and
boom.
My uncle would just walk by. He'd put six of them out and just go whack, 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 and then he'd use pennies
to separate tiles.
Isn't that cool?
It's amazing they could do it in six seconds.
Well, first of all, there is a tool that does that better.
that's one of my problems is that the medium determines what you do, right? And maybe not the best answer, but hey, you could do it in 6 seconds.
I have laid tile. That's not, you don't do that. Then you wind up with all kinds of cruddy pennies that you don't know what to do with.
Because they're so valuable. I looked at that and I said, finally, something to do with pennies.
One of my favorite moments in Arrested Development. Job says, here's a magic trick. I could turn a $100 bill into 100 pennies. All right, let's take a break. I don't want to talk about, we could if you guys really want to, the Department of Justice, iBooks litigation, the trial begins today.
No, whatever.
No, thank you.
Yeah.
Pass.
Whatever. Okay, that's what I thought. Simple enough. We're going to take a break,
listener,
come back.
Listener or viewer, I agree completely, wholeheartedly with your incredibly insightful assessment.
Thank you. And you're right. I agree with Andy.
Leo.
Let's take a break. When we come back, your tips, your picks, whatever it is you want to tell us. I'm going to leave the door open to anything because I'm that kind of guy.
Whoa.
But first, a word from LegalZoom.com. Not a law firm, but a company that will help you get your legal work done at a very affordable price. If you're a startup, for instance, as we were in 2005, LegalZoom can help you set up that LLC for $99. Incorporate, too. We chose the LLC. Really simple. You literally just walk through a step-by-step questionnaire. You've got an LLC, S-Corp, C-Corp. Do a trademark for $169. I think that's a good idea if you've got a blog or a brand. You know, you may say, protect it. It's affordable, it's easy, and you'll be glad you did. And by the way, they also do legal documents for your personal life. And if you don't have a last will and testament, you better get one, $69. If you don't, I'm telling you, the courts, the government decide what happens to your assets, worse, what happens to your kids. If you are going through the process and you say, gosh, maybe I should have got an attorney, I got a question here. They've got a great solution, the legal plan. You can get legal advice from experienced attorney in your state. They have almost all the states covered. You could see the attorney's profile, read unedited reviews so you can tell which attorney's right for you, and it's very affordable. It's a fixed rate. So it's a great way to get the kind of legal advice you might want in addition to filling out the forms. All in all, it's going to save you a ton of money, and that's why so many people have used LegalZoom over the last 12 years. 2 million Americans for LLCs, wills, trusts, trademarks, and more. I want you to try LegalZoom right now. Not a law firm. You can get self-help services at your specific direction or speak to a legal plan attorney. Get your questions answered. Get ongoing advice. We're just going to give you a little thank you. If you mention Mac Break Weekly when you use LegalZoom, we'll give you $10 off. Just use the offer code MBW, three letters, MBW for Mac Break Weekly, and $10 off on checkout at LegalZoom.com. Do that, though, so they know that you heard it on Mac Break Weekly. And we thank them for their support of Mac Break Weekly. Let's start with Andy and Not Co. I think my pick of the week, Google Hangouts.
Yes.
Working great.
Take that Skype.
Take that Skype.
There you go. Mine is, I bet that you'll recognize this. This is one of my favorite simulator apps. This is called DSKY. It is a simulator of the Apollo guidance computer, onboard computer.
Funny.
So this is an actual like reproduction of what it was like. Now,
that's amazing.
Obviously, this is not connected to trans-Earth injection rocket motors, but it does do things like the instructions. The instructions page shows you the actual Apollo features that it does implement. Whoops. For instance, if you want to know what time it is, you type verb 1:06, noun, I think it's 5:08, enter, and then it will tell you what time it is. It also has like GPS features where it'll give you your actual coordinates. And if you mess up, of course, it will like also give you the correct error codes for what you're doing. It is just the coolest damn thing just to have laying around, like on an easel next to your desk, because it makes you feel like the biggest boss there is. I mean, if you own an Apollo disky computer and you know how to operate it, honestly, my armies are yours to command. Because that's about the cool. Every time I swear I finally gave up on finding anything like an Apollo like computer component. Maybe about a month ago at the MIT flea market, but I still hold every time there's somebody that has like a box underneath a folding table at the MIT flea market that doesn't look like it's been sorted through. I'm hoping I'll see this like, oh, well, it's some sort of like old calculator. I spotted as part of a lot or something. I don't know. I'll take $10 for it. Like, you just sold me an Apollo disk computer for $10. I must mow your lawn and show you my thanks. That's about the coolest thing. I would trade you an Apple One. If I owned an Apple One, I would trade you for this, because an Apple One is okay, it's interesting, but this is cool as hell, and it's a free app, and you will forget about it until you rediscover it in your app library again, and then it'll be once again the coolest thing you possibly can.
Very awesome. And of course they had to slow down the iPad tremendously to make it work. Exactly. As the Apollo computer. Wow, that is very, very, very cool. Let's do Renee Ritchie. What do you got for us, Renee?
It has just launched today. It is Felix for the iPad, and it is a app.net client. Whoa, really big. It's an app.net client. It's been on the iPhone for a while. It has just moved over to the iPad. It's a very interesting take on it. It's very gesture heavy. A lot of people complain that, you know, iOS hasn't embraced gestures the way that WebOS did or the way that BlackBerry 10 has. But that only leaves the door open for developers to try them. And maybe that's not a great way to get a consistent experience or to have an OS-wide experience, but it's allowing a lot of innovation right now. And what I like about Felix is that they've kept the buttons, so if you're not as familiar with gesture-based interface, you can still come down here and press the little button, and it'll give you your options. Yeah. And then you can also use two fingers to slide between screens, two fingers to pull up a new tweet window if I want to write to somebody. It just works really well. It's very elegantly made. It looks like something different than a Twitter client. If you're looking to have an app that isn't just a port of a Twitter client, if you want something that is different, like the service is different. And I think they did a really, really good job with it.
Very cool. It's called Felix, F-E-L-I-X. And it looks like that was iPad. There's an iPhone and iPad version.
And because app.net is, like, you know, you have to have $36 to join. They're not as adverse to charging for the app. So I believe it's a $4 or $5 app.
Probably worth it.
And I bought it as soon as it came out.
So you spent a lot of time. I haven't been on app.net in ages. You spent a lot of time there?
I have a really mixed relationship with both. First, I think the social fragmentation right now is very difficult for a normal person to deal with because you have some, like I have my Android and Google friends are on Google Plus. The vast majority of my audience, when I write things on iMore, most of the responses, the comments that I get are on Twitter. But a lot of the nerdy, geeky people that I just know being in the business are on app.net, which means, right. And I don't like robots. I don't like using robots to post things that I want humans to read. So I make sure that I do them myself. But it just means I have to go to Twitter and app.net and Google Plus now, and sometimes Facebook, rarely LinkedIn, in order to reach all the different people I want to reach sometimes.
I should go back there and check it out. Mr. Alex Lindsay, your pick.
Mentioned Leo.
I got a new bag.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Every 18 months or so, there's like a new bag because it's a slow progression. And yeah. I have to credit Liana Lahua who got it first.
It's a backpack.
And so
you wouldn't think there'd be that much differentiation in backpacks.
For me, there is.
So tell us what. I'll look it up. It's the 5.11 Rush 24.
Yeah. So
501 Tactical. They're makers of the most awesome.
Yes. They make. Yeah. Do they make your tactical pants, Andy?
So I'm sorry. I'll let you go. But I do have a couple of their bags too. And yes, they are the most. They are incredibly awesome things. If you need bags with pouches that actually work.
Yeah, so
I will. I'll pull this up. Ooh, you can spend as much as $600 on this backpack, yeah, folks.
That one's a little too.
Here's Chad. Here's the Amazon listing.
Wait, hold on.
For it.
I think that. So anyway, so I don't know if you can zoom out, Chad, or are you stuck with it?
Chad, I have the Amazon listing. If you want to look at that.
So anyway, so. So some of the advantage of this bag is, A, there's a lot of pockets. And I'm really. So one of the things about it, if I open this up, you'll notice that there's not a lot of. Random stuff laying in my bag. I'm really about, it's either in a bag, it's either in a, and here's the other thing is it opens all the way up. So I can open it all the way open.
Yeah.
So if I want to pull something out, I've got pouches all the way up the inside. I've got pouches, I've got little pouches on the outside here with little pouches inside of those pouches, which is very useful. And it's expandable. So these little straps here, you actually add onto the webbing. And you can get, because it's Velcro, so you can put your name on it. Wait, see? Lindsay. There's a lot of us with these bags already.
It used to say security. Oh, it still does.
No, there's one that says security down here. I have felt that this was on a hat that I bought, and so I just threw it on there. And it was out of curiosity as whether they would not check it in the airport if I put it on. It turns out they don't.
Yeah, they don't want to find whatever's in there.
So I put it on, and it turns out they just leave my bag alone. And really, my bag is the kind of bag that you would think that they would open. So yeah. Anyway.
You put in a video clip with copyrighted music. That gets pulled down. Instructions on how to get a bag through security without being checked. Oh, YouTube has no problem with that.
Yeah. And so lots of slots. Oh, by the way, just in case you're wondering, this is a... this is the weirdest hard drive that I have. These are like the little Seagate things with Thunderbolt. And then this is an SSD drive. And the nice thing is I can go to any store and buy an SSD drive. And
so it's a Thunderbolt like cartridge
that I've taped it so that it's just a hard drive. You don't need to know that. So anyway, it's a great bag. It's about $100, I think, on Amazon. And it's
can you carry
very
cameras
expandable.
In it, Alex?
Sorry?
Is it a good camera bag?
You know, so Liana has gotten that new. There was a Kickstarter that had these inserts that they put into them, and so she's got this whole this new insert system that she put into it, and it's awesome as a camera bag. Awesome. I don't use it as a camera bag. I just put my laptops in straight through the center here, and I have been trying to
just
figure
looks
out
like a
how
freaking
I'm gonna,
backpack to me. I don't understand.
It's a backpack. So all I got to say is I spend a lot of time carrying stuff around and being able to organize it.
Security patch. That's what I want.
What? The security patch? It came with a hat I bought at a gun show. So the hat has Velcro, too. So anyway.
Okay.
You know, I took my kids to a gun show and ended up
Oh, you can get
a hat.
in desert camo.
Yeah. I don't do any of the camo stuff. The 24 is the largest one that you can even get close to putting on your seat. In the seat below you, and really the smaller one is the only one that you're sure that will fit in there. So you really have to kind of pace yourself with packing it, or you will only be able to put it in the overhead and just barely. So.
I've seen Patrick Norton put 400 pounds worth of crap in a backpack.
Oh yeah, no, I'm just saying as far as fitting it in the seat in front of you, it can get a little challenging. Anyways, very comfortable. There's just a lot of pockets where I like them. And as I said, I spend a lot of time in airports. And so being able to get to things quickly and being able to organize them becomes very important to me.
Very important.
So I know it's a little geeky, but I like it a lot. Anyway, that's it.
I'm with you on it.
5.11. And it's the 24. The 24 is what I got. The Rush 24.
The 5.11 tactical site is so worth browsing because you will find either an article of clothing or some sort of a bag or a pouch that is, they made exactly the thing I need for exactly the purpose I need it for.
Yeah, I don't suggest actually going to 5.11 ever.
Why?
Because
you're going to buy everything.
It's very
expensive.
It'll
take all your money.
It is a very expensive site for me. And I try not to visit too often because it's like, you know, it just costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. It's like an expensive
habit.
And you think that, you know, you couldn't think of a certain size bag if they have bags for everything. Look at that. And there's even a couple there that I don't have.
My pick is our twit.tv app. You should get it. Just updated to version 4.2.
I love that app.
Yeah
it's
and,
great.
And they added This Week in YouTube and OMG Craft.
Nice.
So this is, you know, you see the schedule on, it's really quite beautifully done. You see the schedule on it here down at the bottom, This Week in YouTube episode list here. I like your icon, Chad. I never.
I don't think that's the official. 20%
more Chad.
I think we'll get the official icon.
20% more Chad. That's
yeah, this, it is. It's a zoomed in Chad. In fact, exactly right. You could see, of course, you can watch live. Very much cleaned up interface. Very nice. I think he's done a nice job. This is Houdini Sevens, right? I hope so. This is Craig Mullaney of Shift Gear Software. Note that you can on the live video change between bit gravity high, bit gravity low, flow soft, which is a very high quality but also expensive version. I recommend if you want to save us money that you use the Ustream unless you're having trouble with it because that one's free for us. But the flow soft is an HLS stream that we actually pay for in order to make it compatible with things like the iPad and the iPhone. And it's a very good quality stream. So go ahead and watch it if you want. But the Ustream is also very good. This is the variable bitrate. And so if you have enough bandwidth, it's going to look quite good. That's twit.tv. And I think it's 99 cents.
It's worth it.
Yeah,
it's worth it. That's the primary way that I see them.
There it is.
Is it this one? This is not.
Actually, that's not it. That's a different one.
Well, it looks like from the screenshots.
Look at the iPad version. Real quick.
Okay. We're in the iPad version.
Are you?
Yeah.
It looks like it's iPhone to me.
Well, if I click iPhone, then we're in the iPhone version.
Okay.
If I go
the
to...
screenshots are the same either way, I guess.
This is the one that...
So this is not Craig's.
Shift keys.
All right.
Does.
This is a different one. Well, hey. Right. Craig, I love you, but 99 cents. What is the company that does this one?
Intentionally blank. And it's StuartJMoore.com, I think is the... let me try.
Well, get your choice, but I have to say the UI on this is pretty sweet. I think he's done a very nice job, especially on the iPad.
Yeah, Stuart J. Moore is the creator of this one.
Yeah.
Twit.tv.
Yeah. Thank you, Stuart. Just point that out. 99 cents. You get your choice. I would get both.
If you're searching for it, it is twit.tv, Tech News Streaming Live.
Tech News Streaming Live. All right. And TwitPad is Houdini Sevens from ShiftKey Software. There you go. And there's another one, twit.view. Oh, my God. Well, thank you, all of you, for doing these. That's great. So this one's from FCon. Okay, they do is this FCon? Because they do the Android app that I like.
I'm not sure, actually.
Don't know. It's a mystery.
It's intentionally blank, so...
They don't want anybody to know. It's a mystery. Hey, thank you for joining us. We do this week in Mac Break Weekly. Every Tuesday, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. No, 2 p.m. Eastern time. That's right, 1900 UTC on twit.tv. So tune in Tuesday because it's great to see you live. And as you can see, we do talk back to the chat room. And a lot of times you guys give us great information. If you don't get to watch live, we do have on-demand audio and video after the fact at twit.tv/MBW or wherever better podcasts are aggregated like iTunes. Be a good place to get it. Thank you, Mr. Andy Iannacco, for putting up with the Skype horrendousness. You can catch Andy's work at the Chicago Sun-Times and at his website.
It was lovely talking to you, Leo. This thing on my head, it's my real hair.
Is that a picture you took of Mr. Shatner?
Yep, yep. I was like just like off stage.
Gosh, he looks really good for his age. It's amazing.
Like Danny Crane.
Like Danny I said, Crane. If you were to guess how old he is, you'd say, oh, I don't know,
60? 72? 65?
Maybe 70? Because yeah. he's like, and he's standing like on stage for like an hour. Good heavens.
Well, you know what? What a great thing for him to have that experience. I think that's fabulous. Yeah. Thank you, Andy. Always a pleasure. Maybe we'll use Hangouts next week. I don't know. We'll have to figure this out. Thank you also to Renee Ritchie, who is also Hangouts bound today from iMore.com. Are you coming down for the WWDC?
Yep, I'm going to be there on Monday. I'll be at the Twit Cottage the Brick House on Tuesday. Also, all this week, if I can just tell people, we're doing Talk Mobile all week. So if you go to talkmobile2013.com, you'll see me and all the other Mobile Nations editors doing our giant cross-site event all happening online this week.
Wow. So yeah. What kind of stuff are we going to see?
So we have different weeks. This week is gaming. So we're talking about the different things in gaming. Yesterday was whether mobile gaming can kill the consoles. And today's topic was the dark side of mobile gaming, like in-app purchases and the relationships it can create and break. And we're doing each day starts with a 5-minute video podcast. And then we have a featured article. We have polls. We have
what an interesting idea.
We went and interviewed people. We got a lot of experts. I'm going to be hitting you up for an interview next week, Leo, if you're around.
Sure. And this is a great idea. So it's kind of an online conference, so everybody can go.
Yeah, if you scroll down a little bit further, there's links at the bottom for the first 2 days, and if you click on one of those, you'll see that day one and day two. And if you pick one of those, it'll bring it up. And we went all out to make these articles. They take us, you know, 2 or 3 hours just to put them online every day.
This is great.
Yeah, so we have everyone gets their say. We have a lot of, I think in that video, we have the head of gaming for BlackBerry, and we have Guy English, who's a well-known game developer.
Oh, so he's legend.
Wow. Yeah, so they'll give you their opinions of it, and we have other people coming up too.
Really neat. That's Talk Mo. Oh, there's Callie and John. Are they part of your thing?
We wanted it to be neutral. We didn't want anyone to say, oh, it's too much BlackBerry, too much iOS, right, too much Android. So we got them as a sort of neutral party moderator. So they run the roundtable for us.
That's great. Talkmobile2013.com.
Yes, sir.
And thanks to Mr. Alex Lindsay, who we can now officially anoint as the king of Hangouts, at least here in the studio. I don't know what he does outside the studio. That's his time as his own. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Hey, and I did an interview with Mac Power Users with David Sparks. Anyway, that's coming out this weekend, and it's mostly talking about travel. So it's actually not a little
that's
bit about
good.
Mac, but a lot of people asked me about how I pack and everything else. So it turned out to be a long conversation about that. So anyway, you can check that out. It's, again, Mac Power Users, and that should be coming out on Saturday. And Katie Floyd and David Sparks.
Fantastic. That's something to check out. Hey, thank you for being here. We'll see you next time. Get back to work. My back break is over.